This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. So, we're going to talk about the election.
11th or the 18th of May.
Which has not yet been announced.
It hasn't, but it's going to happen.
So, Adam Carr. Adam Carr's our regular psephologist. He's certainly aligned with the Labor side of politics, let's say. He's been a regular on our show and has agreed to continue to be a regular with us. And reflect on what's occurring and talk to us about what we might expect. Good morning to you, Adam.
Good morning, Tess.
Good to have you on air again.
Thank you.
So tell us, what are your observations of the last week politically? Where do you think things have landed?
Well, the government have done their best to produce an attractive budget. They're behind in the polls. We're now waiting to see in the next round of polls, whether the budget has shifted the needle at all. If it has, then shifted the needle towards the government, then they may have, you know, better hopes of pulling the election off. If it hasn't, if the next round of polls show Labor still comfortably ahead, then I think it's pretty clear they've got an uphill battle.
There's going to be, it's important for people to remember, the government is a minority government.
That's right.
And you know, the government is the government by virtue of the crossbench, all of the crossbench continuing to support them being in government, although the House of Representatives has now risen. So it's only the Senate, I think, has still got a couple of days of sitting. Reality is that the government needs to hold every single seat it has and win more seats to retain government.
To win a majority, that's true.
With a majority.
That, yes.
How many seats does Labor need to win on top of what it currently holds, Adam, to form government and provide a speaker and have, you know, a bit of a margin?
Well, to have a bare majority, yep. Labor needs to make a net gain of five.
Five, okay.
That would be, you know, obviously not a comfortable situation because it would only be a margin of one vote all the time, but that would be possible. The government has... Sorry.
No, go on.
Well, the government has, as you say, the government probably has a bigger job given where we're starting from, depending on how much effect the budget has had. But on the polls we've had, you know, for many months now, that five seat target is well within range for Labor. Whereas for the coalition to win a majority government or even a minority government, dependent on a couple of crossbenchers who would probably support them, like Bob Katter, they've got to get a swing back from the current position, as the polls are showing.
My prediction is Labor by 12 seats.
Well, I've learned not to make election predictions.
No.
If my predictions were true, Hillary Clinton would be president.
Adam, your predictions are never any good.
Yeah. No, they're not. I did get the marriage survey right.
Yes.
So going back, has it been a good week for the government?
What's your
assessment?
Well, the government's been in control of the agenda with the budget, and budgets. This budget obviously is an election budget. It's got lots of tax giveaways for middle class voters. It's got various other, you know, good things that the government hopes will swing opinion back towards it. Then Bill Shorten had his speech on Thursday night, on which he tried to counter the government's tax proposals by suggesting more tax cuts more heavily skewed towards middle and lower income earners rather than the upper income earners, and also Labor's pledge on cancer treatment as part of Medicare. So the voters will have to assess which of those two sets of, you know, both sides have now laid out their goods, and the voters will choose.
And what's been the reception to Bill Shorten's reply speech?
Well, we haven't seen any polling on that yet.
Yep.
Bill Shorten is not a natural orator.
I'm not talking about the polling. I'm really talking about the reception. So have his ideas been well received? What's your assessment
of that?
Well,
by who is the question. I think Labor supporters thought it was a terrific speech, both in terms of its delivery and in terms of its content. The Coalition obviously don't think so. Although I think watching the government front bench while Bill Shorten was speaking, they were not as rowdy as they usually are. I think they recognised that he was making a good pitch. But in terms of how the voters think of it, we'll have to wait for some opinion polls.
Now, there's a couple of seats that we're interested in particular, that we hope to have in studio candidate forums, and that is for McNamara and for Higgins.
I thought you'd say that.
Yeah. Higgins, we gave up long ago on trying to get Kelly O'Dwyer on air. We've had her on a couple of times, but, you know, it'd actually be easier to deliver
two. Well, she's gone now.
Yeah, it would be easier to deliver two budget surpluses than get Kelly O'Dwyer on air. But McNamara is going to be interesting. Michael Danby, as we all know, retires at this election. Josh Burns is standing there. I'm not sure if the Liberal candidate's been announced yet or the Greens candidate. But Higgins...
In McNamara, Liberal candidate is Kate Ashmore and the Greens candidate is Steph Hodgins-May.
Okay.
Same candidate as last time for the Greens.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, yes.
Yeah.
Now, Higgins, Katie Allen was the Liberal candidate for the state seat of Paran. And
that's right.
We had an in-studio debate with Katie and Neil Farrow and Sam Hibbins. I think... Higgins is going to be very interesting. What's your initial take? I'm not asking you to make a projection.
No. Okay. If you look at the state election figures, Labor would have won Higgins on those figures. Now, state election figures don't automatically translate into federal figures, of course, but it's certainly a seat which is now in play. The Liberals know that. Labor knows that. And I think the fact that Labor changed its candidate after the state election to find a more high-profile candidate to take on the seat shows that Labor thinks the seat is winnable. The Liberals, I live in Higgins and I'm getting lots of full-colour Liberal stuff in my letterbox. So the Liberals are clearly worried. I also know that the Liberals are worried about Kooyong, which really is surprising.
Kooyong?
Bob Menzies' seat. There's a high-profile independent running against Josh Frydenberg in Kooyong, and of course Labor won the state seat of Hawthorne, which is in the same area. But on Higgins... Labor on the, if you translate the state election figures directly onto the federal booths, then Labor would have won that seat.
Yeah.
So clearly it's in play. I don't know how much personal vote Kelly O'Dwyer had. I don't think an enormous amount, but she's gone, so the Liberals have to fight the seat with a new candidate.
And Katie Allen is a very credible candidate.
Yeah, and don't forget, Adam, that the Liberal Party have a huge war chest in Higgins. Huge amount of money,
Liberals,
which they never want to talk about, but they have a huge amount of money to fund campaigns in Higgins, ostensibly in other seats as well, but it mostly gets spent in Higgins.
It's the Higgins Fund.
Yeah, Higgins 200,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, they do, and the Liberals usually have a financial advantage, particularly in their own seats where they have a strong fundraising base. But I think the point to make about that is that we saw in the Victorian state election that upper middle class voters in Melbourne are in a very funny mood politically.
Yeah,
I mean, Labor won Hawthorne. Labor came within an inch of winning Brighton with spending no money at all. There was a 10% swing in Malvern, which is the seat in the middle of the federal seat of Higgins. So those voters clearly resent the dumping of Malcolm Turnbull, who was very popular with middle class voters in Melbourne. They don't like the Liberals' policies on climate change. They didn't like the kind of law and order campaign that Matthew Guy ran in the state election. Scott Morrison is very Sydney in his style and in his appeal, and it may well go down well in Sydney. It may go down well in Queensland, but I don't think it's going down very well in Victoria. So the Liberals, I think, are worried about their belt of traditionally safe upper middle class seats: Kooyong, Higgins, Goldstein, Flinders. They're facing challenges either from Labor or in some places from independents or from high-profile Greens,
Julian
Burnside in Kooyong. So Melbourne could well produce some very surprising results.
Just briefly, Adam, Goldstein.
Yep.
Uncle Tim.
I think it is Goldstein, I'm told.
Goldstein. How's that going to play out?
Well, he's got a 12% majority in that seat.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he is spending a lot of money. He's putting up billboards all over the place describing himself as a modern liberal. To try and, you know, establish some sort of progressive credentials with voters again. I mean, he obviously saw what happened in the state seat of Brighton, which is in the centre of Goldstein. Labor came within 1.1% of winning with a 19-year-old candidate and no money. So they're not taking those seats for granted, is all I'm saying. And the other point, of course, is that every dollar they spend defending seats like Higgins and Kooyong is a dollar they're not spending
in the marginals, in the
seats
real
like Chisholm and Deakin and Latrobe and Dunkley and Corangamite, which are the seats Labor's actually seriously wanting to win. I mean, Labor doesn't need to win Higgins, whereas it does need to win those other seats.
Yeah,
Adam, just before we do go, what can our listeners expect to see next week in the political landscape?
Dirt.
Well, we think the Prime Minister will announce the election tomorrow, but he doesn't have to. I mean, he could wait. But there's really nothing for him to gain by waiting. I mean, everyone now expects the election to happen, so he might as well go for either the 11th or the 18th. Then there will be the usual, you know, laying out of policies and bus tours of the country and each side trying to get a media edge over the other with policy announcements. I'm not expecting anything particularly unusual to happen. I mean, we all know how the game plan of federal elections plays out.
Are we expecting a poll to come out during the week?
Well, the polls have been holding off, as you may have noticed. There hasn't been, firstly because of the New South Wales state election and then because of the budget. We haven't had a news poll for some weeks. There'll be Essential, there'll be Ipsos. They'll all come out in a rush. They'll all be polling now, gauging reactions to the budget. And we'll probably see a brash of polls on Monday and Tuesday next week. And that will show us what the starting line is, where the two sides are starting from.
Adam,
I might say something, if I may, about the Greens.
Yes.
Just for a minute. The Greens have had a very bad year in terms of publicity, but the results of both the Victorian and the New South Wales election shows that even when they do have bad publicity and a bad campaign, their vote doesn't go down much. They held all their seats in New South Wales, they held their seats in Victoria, and they picked up Brunswick. So the Greens will definitely still be a factor in the election.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Look, thanks, Adam. We look forward to talking to you over the following weeks, because I'm sure it's going to be quite interesting. Thanks again for your insight, and we look forward to the next chat.
You're very welcome.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.